Please rise for prayer. Yahweh, true and living Lord God, you are a God of relationship as you have shown time and time again throughout the scriptures. You desire a vibrant and healthy daily relationship with us, yet so often we have chosen to put our time, our efforts, activities, and thoughts into stuff of this world. You have told us that these do not last, and it is so true. Please help us to see the truth of your word here today and to apply it to our own lives, for it is only faith in you, O Jesus, that truly saves. It is in and through your name, Christ Jesus, that we do pray. Amen. For our meditation here this day, I would like to especially focus upon our Old Testament lesson from Amos chapter 5. We're looking at those verses that were there, but especially the verse just prior to that, Amos 5 verse 4. Would you please read that with me? For the Lord says, seek me. You may be seated. What is this church thing really all about? If someone says that it's about maintaining this gathering of people, getting more people, especially young people, into the church where they will be active and actively giving, then I think they might be in for a little bit of a shocker here this morning, especially if we listen closely to Jesus' words. We hear in Mark chapter 10 about a slightly breathless man who appears to have it all together, the world might say. He's young and vastly wealthy, as the Bible tells us. And yet, even though he seems to have so much, he still has not found total satisfaction. Something is missing. How do I know this? He comes to Jesus. Now, I've heard a number of sermons and Bible studies that seem to portray this young man who has a number of material items as some kind of a braggart who thinks high and mighty about himself and his own efforts. But I think it's very commendable for him to come to Jesus. He has done what the religious leaders of the day have taught him, yet he is so concerned about his own salvation that he comes and falls to his knees before this Jesus of Nazareth. I just want to caution anyone to judge someone else, especially their heart, if we haven't even shown the same kind of conviction. Has anyone here done today what this man did? Yes, we had a public confession. But did any one of us feel so badly about our own sins and seek forgiveness so earnestly from the Lord that we bowed down, falling down upon our knees in true humility and worship, not caring what others might say or think? The Lord tells us back in Amos to seek me. It isn't just a generic seek God or believe in a God, as we so often hear today. No, here in the original Hebrew, God uses his name, Yahweh. I quote from Amos 5, seek Yahweh and live. He asks that we go against the politically correct language of some higher power, and he asks that we seek him by name, Yahweh, the one true Lord God, the maker of heaven and earth. This was the name that he gave unto Moses when he sent Moses to lead his people out of Egypt. This is the same Lord God who delivered them from the waters of the Red Sea. It is this Lord God, Yahweh, that David talked about when he said unto Goliath, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty. This God who was active to create all of creation, the sun, the moon, and the stars, and all that we see in the sky, the darkest depths of the deepest oceans, and all that lives there within them, and the vast differences of life all around us. Yes, this Lord God desires a relationship with you. That's why he tells you and me to seek him. He wants a rich and full relationship with you. He's not just desiring that we do some religious rituals here on Sunday morning and then we turn our back upon him for another week. David is described as a man after the Lord's own heart. And he said unto God in Psalm 40, I quote, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not require. Then I said, here I am." End quote. God is not after just some religious actions or activities you or I might do. He wants you. He wants a daily relationship with us. He's after our heart. Time and time again in his word called the Bible, he tells his people to love the Lord. That's Yahweh. Love the Lord Yahweh your God with all your heart. That's the same message that he gave unto that young wealthy man that we have in our gospel reading who came unto Jesus. The man asked him, "Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" Jesus pointed to living our lives in line with the word of God, listing many of the Ten Commandments. This man then said, "Teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth." Now, please listen to the next words recorded in the Bible. Jesus looked at him and loved him. "One thing you lack," he said, "go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." Jesus loved this guy. He didn't have harsh words for him as he did for the self-righteous Pharisees with their man-made rules and rituals and laws. This younger guy was trying to follow the word of God in his life. Jesus said he lacked one thing. He needed to follow Jesus. It can be tempting, as it so often is, to put our attention unto the objects and the treasures of this world. Some people really seem to point to the action part, to the getting rid of his stuff in Jesus' statement. But Jesus is not here preaching a sermon against the evils of being rich. During Luther's time, it was considered a great work to sell all that you had and to make a vow of poverty, for poverty was seen to be more pleasing to God. But that's not what Jesus is ultimately getting at. Granted, wealth has its dangers, as the Lord will go on to say. Those who have riches are tempted to trust in those riches instead of the Lord. But Jesus was wanting this young man's heart. And we get a glimpse to where this man's heart was really at by his response. After Jesus said this, we hear, I quote, "At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth," end quote. Jesus did not want this man to allow anything to get in the way of a relationship with him. By asking him to sell everything, it very soon became apparent where this man put real importance. How about you? Is there any one thing or things that you think so highly of that they could be robbing you of your relationship with the Lord? Money, acceptance, career, family members, toys, sex, notoriety, having a good body, recreational time, the kids' activities, relationships, entertainment, friends, a position at church, and many, many more. These things may not be evil in themselves, but the desire for any one of them can become all-consuming. Money is not wrong or evil. It can be used for good purposes as well as those that are not. It's the desire or craving for it that leads to idolatry, putting anything before or on the same level as God. God warns us in 1 Timothy 6, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. That brings us back to the heart, our heart. What does our heart truly crave? God tells us way back in Genesis chapter 6, the Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. Since sin has come into the world, we each so often think to what looks good and pleasing to me. We each desire what is the most pleasurable or beneficial to myself, rather than putting the needs and the desires of others before myself. Now, I'm sorry, but I need to pause a little bit here. I know that there are some here who respond to this strong word of God by saying, yes, I admit that that is how I often find myself. But I'm afraid that there may be some here who do not want to admit that. Instead, he or she is seeking to justify himself, at least in your own mind, which is also called hardening your heart. If that is you, please listen to this word from Hebrews chapter 3, where we each are clearly told, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Please, do not respond to God's loving words by hardening your heart and refusing to let it take root. Please, do not close your ears to such words said with care and compassion. For you see, that's why God has said such strong words to you. It's because he loves you. He loves you more than anything else. He didn't just say that he loved you more. He demonstrated it. He proved it. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus came down here to prove it. He set aside all the joys and the pleasures that await all those across the great pearl gates of heaven. He set that all behind him when he came down to shiver in that little feeding trough in Bethlehem, to experience the awkwardness and the ridicule of adolescence, to feel the shame of false public accusations, to be rejected and abandoned by all, to be wrongfully accused and charged in such a false mockery of a trial, to be stripped and whipped, and finally staked to the cross before all so that they might scorn and mock him until he had finally breathed his very last. He willingly went through all of that because he loves you. Jesus cares so much for you and your heart that he was willing to give his own. He arose on Easter Sunday morning to publicly display his victory, which is also your and my victory if we but believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. It's not about what we have done or what we will do or what we want to do. We each have fallen short. It's not about us. It's about him. It's about what he did for us with his suffering and his death and his resurrection. It's about what he wants to give us when he comes offering his true body and blood, where we receive that forgiveness he purchased with his innocent suffering and death. It's about what we receive in relationship with him. With him alone. For the Lord says, seek me. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all our understanding, guard and keep our minds in true faith as we seek to strengthen that relationship with Christ Jesus our Lord unto life everlasting. Amen.